The organization is a global one, an international one. We have almost 150 rehabilitation or treatment centers around the whole world on all continents, treating more than about 100,000 persons each year.
The United Nations International Day in Support of Victims of Torture is observed each year on the 26th of June. What is the purpose of this annual observance?
The purpose of the day is really to commemorate, together with torture survivors, torture victims all around the world, and with our colleagues who are working against torture and to rehabilitate these people, to stand in solidarity with them and to really honor them and to give them an opportunity that with dignity they may address communities or churches or, you know, do different things to show that you can actually survive torture and you can function as a healthy human being even though you have been subjected to this horrendous crime. So it's a big day of solidarity and I would say of showing compassion for these people around the globe.
Now the theme of this year's International Day is poverty, I see. Why is that?
We've chosen poverty as a theme this year because most of the torture survivors around the world, most people who are actually tortured, are poor people. I don't think we think about this very often when we are looking at it from the Western world, but this is the truth. It's often the person who just comes in the way of a policeman or people that are in communities where there is a high rate of corruption or you are taken into, let's say, a detention center or a jail for a petty crime. And torture is, unfortunately, in more than 100 countries in the world today, still quite systematically used as a form of repression and to punish people.
You were speaking of say, the Western world. And in our Western world, maybe very superficially, we often think of the word torture as being a bit of an old-fashioned word, something that doesn't happen anymore. In actual fact, that's not true. There are many people across the world who are victims, aren't there?
Absolutely so, and I wish it were something that we should have left behind, you know, in the Middle Ages. But unfortunately, torture continues, and torture also changes its ugly face into different shapes. So maybe today there is more torture that is addressing people, maybe not so much, at least in many countries, in a physical way, but that you torture people in a psychological way by repressing them, harassing them, you know, in different ways, making people feel insecure, afraid. So torture is actually a weapon of power still very much used in our world today, sadly to say.
We've just observed the World Refugee Day, and reading up on it, I discovered that 35% of refugees are torture victims.
Yes, it's a staggering figure. We say up to 35%. Of course, it varies very, very much. But as you well know, most of the conflicts of the world today are internal conflicts, and many people are forcibly displaced. So among the internally displaced people and among the people who actually can manage to cross the border and seek asylum, a far too large percentage are victims of torture. And of course, this is very much a concern of ours that many of these people are also detained. And of course, a person who has the remnants, the sequelae of torture should, of course, not be detained to put into a prison-like situation where they, you know, suffer even more. But it shows you that people who seek protection often are fleeing from situations where they've actually been harassed and tortured or maltreated by different officials, armies, police, or whatever. You know, the long arm against these people is showing in very, very, very many different countries.
I've been looking at your website, the website of the International Rehabilitation Council for Torture Victims. It's very, very well done. And I was interested to read that torture actually goes beyond the actual torture on the victim itself. It reaches out to the rest of the family and to the community as well. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And I think this is again why the 26th of June this year, we are looking very much at the at poverty, both as a cause and an effect of torture. People are tortured because they are poor, and people who are tortured also remain poor because they are often damaged to such an extent that maybe they cannot work anymore. And in certain countries, I think I don't really have to name communities where whole communities, whole countries actually suffer from a huge repression where torture is used as a systematic tool to keep people down and to make communities very worried that they should not be able to raise their voices, use freedom of speech or association, and where people all the time on purpose are kept in a very uncomfortable and destabilized situation.
You say you don't want to mention countries. I'd like to say Zimbabwe immediately comes to my mind. Would you like to mention a few other ones as well?
No, I think, okay. I mean, Zimbabwe is a very, very good example, of course, where the whole systematic torture by ZANU-PF has been used against people, and some people have managed to flee to South Africa and get some kind of protection, whereas many communities in Zimbabwe are suffering greatly because of the whole threat towards them, and that many people simply don't dare to speak up, don't even dare, some of them, to go and seek some kind of health care for the terrible and often physical torture that they've experienced from these groups. You know, people are using machetes, and it's indescribable the kind of effects this has had on people. So, yes, Zimbabwe is absolutely a country where you can say that torture is systematically used to keep people quiet and to try to shut up people. Luckily, we have some people who are brave and working in that country, trying also to address many torture survivors, both inside Zimbabwe and also in South Africa.
In your experience as working with the IRCT, I'm sure you come in contact with many stories. Do torture victims actually recover?
Yes, this is one of the important things, is that you can help people to recover. I think one just needs to mention a few people that are even presidents of countries that have recovered. If you think of the president of Brazil, you think of a Nelson Mandela, and you think of many important writers and artists and so on. Many of them have gone through severe torture and can recover. Of course, I think our work very much aims at having people being able to function more or less normally, and we try to support both the torture survivor and their families and communities. Many times, the effects of torture linger with people in their minds or on their bodies for the rest of their lives. But nevertheless, we try to assist people so that they can live on and lead as normal lives as possible, even though they have gone through this horrendous torture or trauma.
I was reading also on your website that your organization has a strategy, or rather a strategy mix. What is that mix?
Well, we have a very clear strategy that has been endorsed by all of our centers around the globe. And there are basically three pillars, you can say. The first one is that we are the global organization offering rehabilitation to torture survivors, because most health systems simply don't do this, or don't have the capacity or the knowledge to do this. The second one is that we try to assist victims of torture and their families, if need be, to access justice, because we believe also that justice in itself heals the victim, but it's also very important to fight impunity. And the third one is, of course, that from our experience working with torture survivors around the globe, that we believe that we can actually show that preventing torture is an absolute necessity, and to use the international instruments, you know, the Convention Against Torture and others, to be observant that governments who try to use torture as a means are more in the focus of policymakers and politicians and the United Nations and others, so they don't get away with this crime.
Are you hopeful? In the past years, have you seen more participation, more awareness, anything improving?
I'm always hopeful. We are hopeful. That's why we're working with this. We don't think it's hopeless. You can see a change in many countries, you know, who turn from a torture society to a democratic one. I think we could just mention, maybe, for example, Chile or an Argentina, that I don't believe, I would say maybe occasionally this happens, but it's certainly not systematic in the same way as it was 30, 20 years ago. So things are changing for the better. I think since 9/11, we have seen a fallback, you know, with the whole discourse, especially under the Bush administration, into encouraging armies to and governments to use torture because they thought that you could have a torture light, that you could extract information from torture, which you cannot. I mean, a person under extreme pressure, which torture is, you know, will say whatever comes to their mind. So I think the discourse after in the last couple of years has been very fruitful, because I think that many are ashamed of what happened in the, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and I don't think many people believe today that torture is a means of bringing about peace or the truth or a just society. So I think maybe we're waking up and seeing the effects of Zimbabwe and other places. Libya is one other, Syria I could mention also. I mean, we know this is not the answer. So I think at least we stand on the 26th of June together with the people that have come out on the other side of torture, and we are quite hopeful about the future. That's why we are still working and carrying on, and need the support, of course, and of communities, of churches, of people who have something to offer to support our work around the world.
Do you have a personal message that you would like to give us?
Well, I would say that if you can show solidarity, and particularly on the 26th of June, think about the people who are poor and who are often subjected to torture, to try and break that cycle and to speak up against torture and to support those centers that are trying to work to rehabilitate and give health back to those people who have been tortured. That would be wonderful message to you, and would be thankful if you would follow that.
Thank you very, very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
I don't think so. Please join if you can. Most of our centers around the world commemorate this day, and you can go to our website, www.irct.org, and see where different activities are happening. And I cannot know exactly if there's anything in Rome, but I know that our Italian member centers do have activities, and we have a global reading of our patron, Professor Manfred Nowak, who is the ex-former rapporteur to the United Nations on torture, and particularly we are focusing on the poor this year, and stand in solidarity and show compassion to them.